Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and welcome back to this week's HopeCast with my dear friend, Jen Houston, who joins me as often as she can in these HopeCasts. Jen, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me, David.
Well, thanks, Jen, and I hope that this is interesting for you as well, because you often ask me the questions that I'm being asked by everybody else, and so it's a nice synergy, if you will, to be able to try to answer those questions that I'm being asked so much today, especially about biblical prophecy. Let's review what we did last week, because this is part two of last week. And you began last week with what question?
Well, wondering if Putin is the Og of Ezekiel 38.
Yeah, it's a great question, because in Ezekiel 38, one of the clearest prophecies about end times, there is a character by the name of Og, and it means prince or ruler or overseer of a particular area of the world called Magog, M-E-G-O-G. And if you look at that area of the world then, it's almost directly north of Jerusalem to Moscow in present-day Russia. So a lot of people, myself included, believe in end times prophecy, first of all, but we believe as end time prophecies unfold that Ezekiel 38 is absolutely key in understanding it. So is Putin that prince, that leader, that overseer of Russia that will one day come against Israel and invite the final conflict from God intervening on his behalf? We don't really know, but we have some clues that are very interesting. He is 70 years old, which means he's nearing the end of his life. He's a street fighter and a thug, if you will, who thinks he's divinely inspired through the czars and the Romanov families and Peter the Great and Ivan the Terrible and all those different leaders of Russia through the centuries. He thinks he is in that lineage, so he has the mixture of a divine calling, plus he's a street thug. He is a bully. He is a mafia member, if you will, former KGB colonel. And so those aren't a great mix for someone who wants to lead. He has power. He has authority. He is worth somewhere, people think, could be around $600 billion plus. He could be worth $1 trillion. We don't know. And that's why a lot of people think these financial sanctions that people throughout the world are trying to impose on Russia are just water off his back. He doesn't care. It might cause the Russian people some suffering, but he is well able to sustain himself through all of these sanctions and threats because he's just worth billions upon billions of dollars. It's not going to affect him. Indeed, he could probably finance a lot of the nation's ills himself for a season. So he's not a good guy. He has aspirations. Russia right now is the 12th largest economy in the world. China's number two. The United States is number one. His desire is to put together the former Soviet Union. It's called now Russia, not the Soviet Union, not the USSR. It's called Russia, which is the Rosh or the Magog of Ezekiel 38, interestingly. And as he's put the whole motherland back together, I think he is an antichrist, at least. Remember, John said in the epistles of John that there will be antichrist plural who precede the antichrist when he comes on the scene. I think Putin is at least one of those antichrist plural, those who are against Christ, who try to take the place of Christ, as you've seen in others through history, like Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Pol Pot, and others as well, who are godless, reprobative people who kill others just for their own power and their own glory. I think Putin is one of those kind of characters. So as he is in this stage of his life with great wealth, with great power, has an antichrist kind of position, and there is this prophecy that Russia will come against Israel one day in a partnership with Persia, present-day Iran, with Tubal, which is present-day Turkey, with Libya, which is present-day Libya today, and also some coalition of African nations, which will come from the south. Not included within that are the United Arab Emirates and Qatar and other countries in that area who have made a peace agreement through Donald Trump, president number 45, in order for there to be peace. Interestingly, Ezekiel 38, those nations do not come against Israel. Dedan is one of the names given to them. They just sit on the sidelines and go to Russia and the other nations. You shouldn't do this. This isn't really exactly right. But in fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 prophecy, they stay on the sidelines as well. And you just see all of this happening right now. And I believe that God is in control of everything. Mm-hmm. Daniel 2:21, he raises up leaders, he abases leaders. Donald Trump, number 45, was used for this purpose of the Abraham Accords. You know, Jen, I believe that Joe Biden, number 46, is a part of God's plan. Mm-hmm. And he is the one who's made just some terrible decisions to weaken American autonomy, but also our economy. And he is the one that's weakened the Mideast to allow Russia to step into this leadership vacuum and fulfill, mm-hmm. I think, Ezekiel 38 prophecies. All is overseen by our great God, who is overseeing everything. So that's basically, in a nutshell, what we covered last week.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I'd love to make that turn, like we promised our listeners at the end of last week. Where is America in the end times?
Fascinating question, because after you read about Dedan and the United Arab Emirates and the other nations there that are to the southeast of Israel, basically saying to Russia and the world, you shouldn't do this kind of thing to Israel. You know, again, the UAE is investing $10 billion in Israel. They don't want it to fall because they want their nation to continue to expand financially and grow. But interestingly, you have a reference to the young lions there. And some people think maybe that could be the United States, you know, Britain being kind of the lion that was in control of a lot of the world for about a century until its kingdom contracted. And then you have this reference again to the young lions. Could that be the United States? And again, if so, both Britain and the United States are sitting on the sidelines. Mm. They're nowhere involved. And Jen, what I think, and this is not going to be great news for all of our people out there, but barring a serious, huge revival among God's people and His church, which will bring back who we are as a people, a sense of manifest destiny, if you will, God's original call upon our nation that our forefathers recognized. They saw King George III as the Pharaoh of Egypt, and they saw themselves as God's people leaving that and coming to the promised land, America, and this nation was formed on Judeo-Christian principles. Yes, with an awful, evil blight on us called slavery, mm-hmm. that I think our fathers intended to get solved through the Constitution over a brief period of time after it was received and accepted by the majority of the people, but then Southern folk wanted to continue to keep black people enslaved for their own money, their own prosperity. The love of money is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. So we have that blight that's on our nation for sure. But the principles of equality and Judeo-Christian values from God's word were baked into our system from day one. Mm-hmm. And that's why we had a war where 600,000 people gave their lives, at least partly, I think, largely, to set black people free, because those principles were baked into our system. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the greatest nation on the face of the earth with those calls to freedom that are given every citizen in our land. So that's how we were formed. But what you've seen over the last years is a continual erosion of those values. You have a group of people who don't want our Constitution to be that which guides us. So you're seeing more and more people getting into power, making our military weaker and weaker. I think Obama did that a lot during his 8 years. In fact, while he was in office, our Navy became a second-grade Navy power throughout the world. And we saw other things as well that made us weaker as a nation, not the least of which is our morality. Interestingly, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, another end times prophecy says that there will be lawlessness, another word that could be used there, confusion, that will be all over the world. What we see in America is a confused nation, mm-hmm. confused about sexuality, confused about what power really is, confused about gender, confused about marriage, confused about greed, confused about so many things. So to answer your question, Jen, where is America in end times prophecy? I just don't think they're going to be found. Whether we have imploded as a nation and have lost all of our power altogether, or whether we still exist but just are neutral and don't have any influence worldwide, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, 19 of the 21 great nations on the face of the earth have always imploded from within. They've always been destroyed from within. And the average length of a nation's existence is around 200 years. Hmm. This July the 4th, we will be in existence for 246 years. Now, why have we been able to outlast that 200-year legacy? I think it's largely because our nation was built on Judeo-Christian values. We have that in our framework, and it has sustained us, and it's still present at some level of salt and light in our culture, but it's getting less and less and less. So it looks to me like as we advance toward the end times, America becomes a lesser power with lesser influence, and we're just unable to influence the Mideast in any way as Putin or whomever has this coalition of nations surrounding Israel and begin their attack upon God's people.
Wow, fascinating. Well, you said America could be like the young lions and connected that to Great Britain. Turning that corner, where do you see Europe during all of this?
Well, that's a great question as well. Where is Europe in all of this? Well, in the last decades, what we have seen is kind of a sanctimonious idea of Europe toward the rest of the world. They have combined together. They formed the euro. They think they are very prosperous. They think they've got the idea of never having to face war again. So Germany, for example, and other nations as well have lessened their military might and, interestingly, have become more and more dependent on Russian oil and gas in order to get what they need to keep them warm during the wintertime and cold during the summertime. And as they depend more and more on Russia and deplete more and more their military might, they have become a group of people who are not influential. Mm. They have no sense of purpose themselves except to try to exist, except to eat, drink, and be merry and enjoy the next day. They are a group of nations that have formed together with no power or influence. That's why NATO itself does not have the punch that it needs right now to cause any problems because they're not united themselves regarding what they should do. Mm. So it looks to me like if indeed Britain could be one of those young lions. That probably includes NATO itself, Europe itself, who has become lesser and lesser in power and importance and will be unable to stand up against this Og, this leader of Russia itself.
Well, one other nation I'd like to have you chime in on is China. Where's China in this?
Well, China is the number two economically strong nation in the world behind the United States at this point. What you have, though, is with people threatening sanctions against Putin, Putin is being driven to China to prop up his economy and to give him strength. So China is now the number two economy in the world. The United States is really not what China wants to destroy. The United States wants to be overcome by China so that China can say we're number one. Mm. It's fascinating for me that Satan had five I wills in Isaiah 14 when he desired to become God himself. Five times he said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. He wanted Jesus' position on the throne in heaven. So that I will desire, that pride to be number one, is what drives so many. China, again, doesn't want to devastate the United States. It just wants to become number one. So it's increasing its relationship with Russia, propping up Russia with the yuan, trying to make that the world's currency. And Russia is willing to trade its rubles for the yuan in order to have what it needs in order to keep its own military might. And I think I referred to Putin and Russia being the number 12 economy in the world. It really is a second-rate economic power right now. It's not even in the top five right now. But here's what I think. I think Putin wants, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. I don't think he wants to say, we're number 12 with pride. Right. I think he wants to say we're number one or two or three with pride. We want to be one of those superpowers at the top, which they're not right now. And the way he gets there is by making relationships with China, with India, with Japan, all those nations to the east that NATO doesn't have relationships with, that the United States does not have those kind of relationships with, and he can make himself stronger by having that as well. Mm. Interestingly, in Revelation chapter 9, there is a 200 million person army that will march from the east in the end times. What is the only nation on the face of the earth that has that kind of numbers of people that could have that kind of army? Well, it's China, maybe in relationship with India and Japan, as is prophesied by John the Revelator in Revelation 9, that there will be this huge 200 million person army from the east, an army that is from the rising sun. The only two places that have ever been called the rising sun historically are China and Japan. Mm. And they will come against Israel at some point in this last great battle as well. So where is China in all of this? It is a player. It's becoming stronger and will be a part of this end time scenario in some way, though not mentioned by name. Only an army from the rising sun is mentioned in Revelation 9.
Wow. There's a lot to take in here, especially over the last 2 weeks of history and information that you have given to us. And we are so grateful for your knowledge and for your leadership. And really, as we land this conversation, I'd really love to hear your thoughts on how do we as believers live our day-to-day lives in this time?
Yeah, kind of a so what?
Yeah.
As you've heard for the last 2 weeks, all of this information, so what? Well, the Apostle Paul, particularly in the Bible, but many of the New Testament writers, Jesus himself especially, said this, look up. You know, don't predict the day or the hour, as you said, Jen, don't do it, but be ready. Look up. Keep your eyes upward. It could happen any day. It could happen this afternoon. It could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. We don't know, but keep your eyes looking upward. Also, be ready. If Jesus should return right now, will he find you living a life that he's pleased with? Be ready. Also, use your spiritual gift for serving other people. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter. Make sure that you're serving other people. Love God and love your neighbor, especially the poor and the needy. So that, should today be that day, Jesus will come back and you'll hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Live to hear the well done. Mm-hmm. May I say that again? Everyone who follows Jesus, live passionately to hear his well done. And if you're living every day knowing that that would bring his well done, well, if today is the day, you should be excited that he might return today.
That's so beautiful. Thank you so much, David.
Everyone, thank you for listening. I'll continue to try to answer your questions on this HopeCast and other places. God bless you, and I look forward to talking with you all next week.